Well, actually, we've got 9 questions from different people amongst you. So Kirit Bhai suggested I read them out, and then he'll see if he can cover as many of them when he's speaking. But he is planning to speak to us. This is an old promise on the topic of dharma. And I think some of your questions may be included in this vast topic, which is what is dharma and what should be the dharma of an honorable youth. But even so, Kirit Bhai said I should read your questions out to you. Some of them are very serious and deep, and they're connected with some of the classes that you've been studying. I'll start with the serious one. Isn't the ego a necessary evil? For without the ego to make or pass judgment, it becomes impossible, because it is always from our own point of view that we make judgment. The ego that makes you brag or boast is clearly wrong, but the inner ego at times seems necessary. You're being asked to comment on that.
Good question, isn't it? Very, very good question.
Sushil.
Very, very good question.
From what I understand, dharma is a set of unchangeable rules preset by people from different classes or sections of society. Does it not make more sense and become more true that each individual finds his own dharma according to his own philosophy? Is dharma unchangeable?
Getting the question again.
We were studying Descartes, and he says, I think, therefore I am. How do the Indians prove the existence of the individual? And then,
this question
is Shakti.
Oh, very nice.
The other questions are more related to their daily life and their concerns. I think they don't want their names to be
attached. Not to be announced. We respect it.
If Orwell wants to be a different place, why do some schools reproduce the European way of teaching? Is it because those teachers don't agree with the idea of new education? If they don't, why do they teach here? Why should some schools be materially privileged, grow bigger and bigger, when others are still in their old buildings?
Good.
Another question. Why is it that society will respect only those youth who have achieved exams more than those who haven't? What should be the correct way for us in all of it? Do you think that something important will happen in the year 2000? Do you think we need a certificate to find a work in life? I am confused about the purpose of exams, and I would like to know why in Oroville education exams are not so useful.
Good. You have a question. Let me first speak about dharma, which was my first promise to be fulfilled. And maybe many of the questions which have been raised may be covered. Now the word dharma, being Sanskrit word, may pose a difficulty to many who do not know Sanskrit. So let me explain the word itself so that we can enter into the meaning. In Sanskrit, which is one of the most original languages of the world, there is a direct connection between sound and meaning. Just as a child makes sounds in order to convey something, similarly in the beginning the human beings make sounds to convey some meaning. And one of the sounds is dha. You will see that the word, the letter dha or the sound dha has some kind of a force which makes you settle. It gives you a sense, even if you don't know the meaning of dha, you just pronounce dha again and again. And every time dha is pronounced, you will feel as if it has an effect of settling down. That's why in many, many words, all over the world, in many languages, the endings are dha. Even the article in English language, dha, has the same kind of a feeling. Dha thing, the universe. It is also called dha is a definite article. This is a recognized thing in English language. A is indefinite article, but dha is a definite article. It makes you definite. So the word dharma is fundamentally dha. Something definite. Now that which is definite requires no support. What do we call definite? Definite is something that is not flowing out. It is settled and therefore it does not need support. It is itself the support. Something else can be put into it, but it is itself the support. Therefore, in Sanskrit language, the word dharma means the support. That which holds, that which makes things definite, that which shapes with a definite form, that from which you cannot escape. You can see all these are interrelated meanings. That from which you cannot escape. Somebody said in the question, is not dharma unchangeable? And the question grasps quite well. Dharma has something to do with making things permanent, solid, inescapable, unchangeable, which can give the support, which can hold you. Even if there is too much of fluctuation, too much of dispersion. Dharma is that which brings together all dispersing forces. Therefore, dharma is also used as the force of unification, that which unites, brings together. Now, it is very important to remember that in human life or in any universal life, there are always two elements. One element is constant flow, which is very easy to see. You can see this young boy is constantly flowing. There is a force in him. It comes at the right moment, his flow, when I was trying to explain. It is very easy to see the flow. In fact, this world is also described as time. And you will see that time is a constant flow. The past moves into the present, and before you catch the present, the future has already begun to be born. Such a tremendous flow is the nature of time. And yet at the same time, there is a tendency in every one of us to hold the flow. Now, this is very often not understood properly. Do we really need to hold the flow? The highest need of human being, highest need, you will see in the human life as you proceed more and more, there will be greater and greater need to hold. It is said that Buddha, you know the story of the Buddha. You know the story of the Buddha? You know who was Buddha? Have you heard of him? You have heard of Buddha? Yes? Oh. As you know, he was a great prince of Kapilavastu. And he was living a life of happiness, plentitude. There was nothing that was not provided to him. In winter, he had a winter palace. In summer, he had a summer palace. In the monsoon, he had a monsoon palace. So that he always felt comfort. And he grew up into adulthood, so to say, without realizing the realities of life. And suddenly one day when he was taken into chariot, he saw four things, and his whole life was changed. You know what are the four things he saw? He saw a dead body being carried. And he asked his charioteer, "What is this?" And it came upon him that this happens to everybody. Today you are alive, breathing, doing, enjoying. But everybody comes to a point where there is stoppage. Everybody passes into a state of death. And it shocked him and asked, I too will pass into this. And the answer was yes. The second thing he saw was, an old man. And that sight also surprised him, because death is one thing, but to see an old body is quite another. An old body which cannot sustain itself, which cannot hold itself, which has to take help of a stick and move with difficulty. A youth does not recognize and does not even feel, when there is so much of energy and so much of flow of power and capacity, that a time may come when the capacity is diminished. And when suddenly the whole body becomes crippled, and to imagine that you have to live a crippled life is a great shock. The third sight that he saw was that of a hermit, a man who had renounced and was in quest. He had already seen the fourth sight of all that is living and that is alive and that is growing. And he contrasted all these four sides. And what was his basic question thereafter, which arose in his mind? All this is moving, changing. Is there something permanent? That was his question. Is there something permanent? It was his greatest need of his being to find out the permanence. Is there permanence? When we are young and children, we still do not have that great urge to find out the permanence, because we are flowing in energy and we are growing. But a time comes in human life when you ask this question, can it be permanent? And then he renounced his kind of life that he was living overnight. He became extremely troubled, and he felt that unless he finds an answer to this question, he cannot live anymore in the way in which he was living. So imagine the kind of quest and the force of the quest. I don't think many people have this kind of quest so much that they decide that henceforward they will not rest until they find an answer to the quest. This quest was to find out the permanence.